Thank you. All right, let's take our Bibles, go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to begin to look, kind of recap a little bit, 1 through 3, and then 4 through 9 will be the majority of our text here tonight. Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou shalt and all this people, unto the land which I give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, I said unto Moses. From the wilderness, and he begins to give the dimensions of the promised land. We know that they didn't inhabit all of it because of disobedience, but they will in the millennial kingdom. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall it be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto his people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that you mayest observe to do all according to the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but what that shall meditate upon therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. This is important, right? It keeps repeating it. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Father, I pray tonight as we look at the life of Joshua in chapter 1, and we know that their inheritance was Canaan land. Ours is all that lies ahead from this point on for us as the church. And we know it's symbolized by crossing the Jordan, that's immersion into Christ, and also by going over into our inheritance as well as we begin the lifelong journey of becoming like Christ. And we the thorns and the thistles and the enemies, yes, we faced in this life, but your word tells us we can be victorious if we keep to the word. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. And I told you before last week, land of Canaan does not represent heaven. It represents the people coming out of the bondage of sin in Egypt and going to the promised land. And as we cross that Jordan, as we are immersed into Christ, and as we are also free from the bondage of sin, we can live a victorious life as we look at it. Well, last week we looked at the new leader. I want to share with you about four things about Joshua I didn't share with you last week. In verse 1, Joshua. Joshua succeeded Moses as Israel's leader. Now the question is asked, what qualifications did he have to become the leader of a nation, great nation? Well, number one, God appointed him. You see that in Numbers chapter 27. He was the only one of the two living eyewitnesses to the Egyptian plagues and the Exodus from Egypt. He was the assistant to Moses for 40 years. God was preparing him for this event. He was one of the 12 spies. Only he and Caleb showed complete confidence that God would help them to conquer the land, and the rest of them perished in the wilderness. And then, so we looked at a new leader. Then we looked at a renewed commission in verses 2 and 3. The same commission given to the patriarchs is now given to Joshua, verse 2 and 3. God's appointed leader that he had set to be the leader of Israel at this time. How would you like to be the pastor of 2 million people, you know? I have trouble with 50, right? But he says, how would you like to be the pastor of 2 million people? Oh, they were complaining people, I want to tell you, right? I heard a preacher from Tifton one time at a conference preach on Moses, the pastor of 6 million people. And he went through the life of Moses and all that he experienced, right? And it was meant to encourage us, but I was discouraged when I got through listening to that, you know. But and he says, you know, here in verse 2 and 3, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I've given you, I have given you. You know, he's already given it to him, but, you know, sometimes God tells us it's already yours and we don't claim it, as I said unto Moses. And everywhere, God was true, everywhere they set their sole of their feet, they had that land. Trouble was, they didn't go over the whole inheritance that he had had for them. But one day they will. And then we want to pick up with number 3, victory is promised. Again, in verses 4 and 5, gives us the dimensions of the promised land. And I find it interesting, all the way from the river Euphrates. Somebody told me, who's in the know, that the river Euphrates is drying up right now. God might be getting ready to send China across to the Armageddon there, the Plain of Megiddo. I don't know, but we just don't know those things. And then he says in verse 5, thou shalt not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was Moses, so I shall be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now we go through some problems, don't we? We all have difficulties, and we've mentioned some of them this morning. But the promise is, if you be courageous — the word courageous means don't lose heart. It means to put strength into somebody. If we need to live a courageous life in these last days that we're living in. I tell you, you can get so overcome by the things that you see on the news and things like that, and those that watch CNN and things like that, you can get very discouraged, right? I was just joking. I know what that man watches. He watches Fox News, right? Okay. But from the wilderness as far as the great river. So the precise territory, the land is described in each direction, right? Tell me God's not God, right? He's already told them in advance what they're going to inhabit, but they will not do it till the millennium because they didn't enter into all the land. Now, this wasn't what we call a pie-in-the-sky promise to the nation of Israel. And God's promises to us are not pie-in-the-sky. The world thinks that we've gone crazy, that we believe in fairy tales, that we have a hope-so salvation, and that we just pie-in-the-sky. No. It's standing on the assurances of God's word. We can be confident in what God tells us. It's described as a real land. This is not symbolic. Real boundaries, right? And y'all know what I'm about to say next. Boundaries are important to God, right? Borders are important to God. God has created nations and put them within the boundaries that he wants to put them in. And when you open up the southern border like America has, it's going to lead to nothing but trouble, right? But God, there's a wall around the New Jerusalem. You know that? There's a wall around our president's house in Delaware, right? A wall around the other lady, the other wicked witch, Pelosi. There's one around her house, you know? Yeah, we are. I don't know how I got off on that. But anyway, God has boundaries, and he has nations, and he has borders. They're important to him. Now, the Life Application Study Bible says this: Joshua's new job consisted of leading more than 2 million people into a strange new land and conquering it. What a challenge, you know, even to this man Joshua of his caliber. And so we have the same, not as severe struggles like he has. But every new job, you know, it's a struggle. You start a new job, right? That's not a comfortable feeling, right? You go to a new church? I hope not, right? But it's different, right? Even in life, we have people, we get sick. Our loved ones get sick. Our loved ones die. But he said, be courageous. Be strengthened. Put courage in your life through the promises of God, is what he says. Now, if we don't study our Bible, and we don't know our Bible, we will focus on our circumstances and not the God of our circumstances, will we? Without God, we can be frightened. And one thing that's, I don't think it surprised me, but really greatly disappoint me, is how many churches have handled the COVID crisis and the pandemic, you know. And you can see how it won't take much to shut us down, you know. And you can see how everybody will bend the knee to the government, right? Now, they may shut me down before I get through with this. If they do, let me know, John. But you can see how easily the world is being prepared for the one ruler, the Antichrist, who's going to come with the mark of the beast. And the vaccine is not the mark of the beast. Y'all know that, right? But you can see how easily and gullible the church is today. Just as God was with Joshua, he is with us as we face our challenges every day. But we got to be strong. We got to get in the Word of God, right? That's what he tells us. We may not be the responsibility of conquering nations like Joshua, but we're going to have difficult people come our way. How many of you ever had difficult people to deal with, right? All right, nobody but Judy, okay? All right. And we've had difficult people, difficult situations, temptations. God promises us, however, that he will never abandon us or fail to keep us. By asking God to direct us, we can conquer many of life's challenges. So we got to be careful. We got to be that we respond like Christians, right? And we don't want to act like the world. And then lastly, he gives them the conditions of the promise. This is what I'm promising you, but here's the conditions. In verses 6 through 9. Look in verse 6 again. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance in the land, which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Be strong and of good courage. I think God is calling Joshua to be bold. And I think today we need to be bold as well. We don't need to be timid. We don't need to back up from what the Bible teaches, right? We need to be courageous, and we need to. And that only comes when you really know and believe in your heart that this is the Word of God, right? So we need to be courageous in the right way, right? And again, I told you that courageous means to put heart into, and don't lose heart. We need to put heart into our churches today, right? And not to lose heart. Many churches have lost heart. They just defeated every Sunday. And I'm not going to be that way. We're going to have a choir next Sunday, right? If I have to get in it, right? And what a blessing that will be. So we need to take courage. And again, Joshua's courage was not in himself. It was in the one who gave him the promises and in God himself. So this text is often preached when the first pastor takes over a new church. The previous pastor, if he can leave on good terms, he's able to preach this before the new pastor gets here, right? And if not, he'll be like Dan Mullen today. He got fired from Florida Gators, you know. I just had to get that in there. But he was a great leader. Again, because he depended upon the promises of God. Now, if we have our full faith and self-confidence in ourselves, it's going to lead to ruin, isn't it? But we should instead be in full agreement with God's promises, genuine God confidence, I call it. And then in verses 7 and 8, as we talk about the conditions of this promise, he said that you observe all according to the law, the book of the law. Again, look at it in verse 7, the latter part of verse 7. It commanded thee, don't, according to the law, the book of the law, the first five books of the Bible that Moses wrote, the Torah. He said, don't turn from it from the right or from the left. See, we have a tendency today, well, if I smudge a little bit over here to the left, or if I smudge a little bit over here to the right, that's going to be okay. God understands, right? That's not what he said, is it, Brother Larry? Don't turn from the left or to the right. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. The book of Revelation says that they digested the Word of God. They ate the book. You know, it became part of them. And I think that's the way it is in our families, church. We need to be, before our children, we need to show them how we respond biblically to different things, right? And they, we need to teach them the Word of God. They get taught at school or at Sunday school, but parents, y'all need to teach your children the Word of God at home and have confidence in that. And every time there's something happening in your family, bring the Word of God to bear on that situation so that they can understand how we apply the Bible to our daily lives. And that's what we're to do. And it doesn't mean in the latter part of verse 8 that we're going to be prosperous and own a bunch of stuff or have good success with great jobs. That's talking about spiritual success and spiritual prosperity. So notice verse 8b again. To all the law, he said. Obey all the law, right? That's why I invite you to Wednesday nights. We're studying how to read and study the Bible. Very informative study on how to read the Bible the best way so you can get the most out of it. And then also how to interpret the Bible, right? You would think when the pastor goes to a study on how to interpret the Bible, the church would be full, right? And when it's not, it's sad, you know? So I invite you here on Wednesday nights to be with us. And so he gives the conditions of this promise here. Joshua did not only need to read the Word of God, he had to be on his lips, he says here. Shall it not depart from your mouth. And in his mind, he's to meditate on it day and night. And he is to do the Word of God. See, that's the steps, right? You read the Word of God, you meditate upon the Word of God, and then you do it. You observe to do according to all that is written. And then you will have a successful way and a prosperous life. Now, maybe a prosperous wife, too, while you're at it. But anyway, and I would say this to Caleb and any other young person, Morgan and Kenley, I would say this to them. Here today, if you stay in the book, God is going to give you spiritual prosperity, right? I need an amen there. Amen, right, Caleb? Now, your job when you come here on Sundays is to amen me, okay? All right. And by the way, I got a new job, Keith, and you can tell Ethan that this is his job. I changed the filters in the two in here and one over there in the fellowship hall. Miss Barbara writes the dates on them when she used to do it. It's not Barbara's job to change the filters, okay? We men need to step up. And Ethan's the only one that can probably do it without a ladder, right? And she had written a date on one of them, and it was the fellowship hall. You know how many years it's been since someone in the fellowship hall was changed? Barbara, I didn't tell you this, but it's been 2 years. And you weren't messing with that one, right? So tell Ethan we can do it every 6 months because they don't run all the time. His new job is to change the air filters. They're in the closet back there. Now, what that's got to do with the sermon, I don't know. But we're talking about obeying, right, and going forward. God's word will make us successful. I've never seen a Christian starving, you know. I've never seen a Christian lacking. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to have problems. But he's going to go through the problems with us, right? And we're able to deal with anything if we put him first. And again, many people think that you can be physically or materially blessed and success. That's what the prosperity gospel preachers preach. That if you just have the right network, you can go forward in life. And you just have a relentless desire to make as much money as you can or whatever. But that's not success here as it's being taught about. It's spiritual success, right? So the strategy for gaining prosperity that God taught Joshua goes against such teachings that are being taught in the world system. He said, be strong and courageous because the task ahead would not be easy. We need God. Obey God's law and constantly read and study the book of instruction, God's word. And then he says in verse 9, and let's read that. I want y'all to leave y'all with verse 9 tonight. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. No matter what word you get, no matter what test you get, no matter what's going on, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Amen. Now, I want to close with one passage of Scripture that's been on my heart for 2 months. I want everybody to go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I want to show you something here, because one of the greatest fears that believers have is that of dying. Okay? Look in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It's talking about Christ, who came to earth to die for our sins and to conquer death. Okay? Everybody here believe that Christ came and conquered death, right? Look in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's us, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He became flesh and blood, went to the cross, right? That through death he might destroy him, Satan, who had the power of death, that is the devil. Okay, now notice the next verse. Because he destroyed death, because he rose from the grave, look what it says in verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You see, we're all afraid to die, according to that verse. We're in bondage to death, right? But Christ came and conquered death, right? That we will not be in fear of dying. Brother Larry and I were talking about that at Sunday's today. You know, I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens, right? And I don't want to be burned. I don't want to be cut. And I'm not going to die in an airplane because I ain't getting in one, right? But we're all like this. We all have a fear of death. If there's anything we should not be afraid of, is death, because Christ conquered death, right? Amen? Father, thank you for your word tonight. And even Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 can be applied tonight to be courageous and go forward according to your promises. And we can trust you even in these kind of times. So protect us as we travel. Bring us back safely again Tuesday night. And we look forward to next week. And look forward to December in the morning services as I begin a series on the Christ of Christmas in the morning times. So, Lord, protect us. Lord, come for us. Even so, come quickly. Lord, I pray you come before we get out of this building tonight. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.